Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor. 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show, Your Money with David Hayes. We're going to have a fun one today. Doug Hughes is with me live in the studio, and we're going to talk about changes that are coming. You know, you need to be focusing on things that really matter. Too many things are out there that we talk about that really don't matter. When it comes to your money, we're going to be talking about the influence of the baby boomer in the market and the economy, and then on to things that you need to know about when it comes to changes coming of Social Security and your retirement accounts, the way you can give money. So a lot of that to come in the show. Before that, though, I want to make sure I announce that we're having a workshop, a Social Security planning workshop. You're going to learn all about Social Security, when you can take it, the proper ways to take it, the hundreds of different claiming strategies. Over in Spencer, the Owen County State Bank is sponsoring a workshop for folks in that area. So if you live in the Ellettsville, Spencer area, or really if you just want to take a nice drive on 46 over there, it's Saturday at 10 a.m. on the 22nd of August. So again, 10 a.m. the 22nd of August over at Owen County State Bank. Wayne Thacker, Ryan Belcher will both be there preparing a great program for everyone. So if you'd like to attend, you should email us at CFCI.us. Contact us. Let us know you'd like to be there. And that's more than to just make sure that there's a seat for you when you come. But you know what? You can just come if you want. 10 o'clock Saturday, the 22nd, over at Owen County State Bank. Hey, before we get to the big show, let's do a little news of the week, of course, brought to you by our book, Doug and I's book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for adults age 50 and older. The oil prices, they tumbled more, down 3% to a 6.5-year low. They're under $42 a barrel. Unbelievable. This was as of Thursday. The data is showing a big rise in U.S. stockpiles, intensified worries over growing global glut of oil. Right now, we have three things working against us. We have the dollar strengthening, supplies are up, demands are down. Those are three reasons that oil prices may continue to slide. Our friend Harry Dent and the H.S. Dent Organization, Rodney Johnson, they're saying 38, 36 is not too far out of the realm. And, of course, here locally, our gas prices are a little bit high, and that's because, at least they say it is because, of the BP refinery that partially went offline that spiked our gas prices. Or could it be that we have, about 30,000, 40,000 students and their parents returning to Indiana University?
Interesting time.
Interesting. We'll see how that we'll see it 2 or 3 weeks from now. What they look like around here. Social Security, we're going to be talking about that today, will turn 80 on Friday. The Massive Retirement and Disability Program is showing its age, though. The Social Security Disability Fund is projected to run dry next year, and the Retirement Fund says they have enough money to last till about 2033, 2034, something like that. Now, the stakes are big. 60 million retirees, disabled workers, spouses, and children get monthly benefits from Social Security, and that number is projected to grow to 90 million. Yes, that's million over the next two decades, and a lot more on that to come. And finally, do you think rents are going up? Now, we live in an area where there is a lot of rent tolls out there and a lot of people renting because of the students. But American Living in Rentals spent almost one-third of their income on housing in the second quarter. That's the highest share in recent history. Rental affordability has steadily worsened over the last several years, according to a new report from Zillow Group, which tracked data going all the way back to 1979. Rents were the worst in Los Angeles, where people are devoting almost 50% of their income just to their monthly rent. You know, cheap mortgage rates are keeping the cost of homeownership low. Buyers in the U.S. devoted 15% of their income to mortgage payments, which is less than the 21% historical average. A lot of that has to do, folks, with demographics. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the baby boomer and why it matters to pay attention to where they are at their stage of life and also where their kids are. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, there's 10,000 people a day, according to Yahoo Finance, turning 65 in America every single day. Unbelievable. You know, we look at the demographics that are ahead of us. Doug Hughes joins us now live in the studio. And Doug, you know, you and I have been in the retirement income and financial planning business for a long time, combined over 40 years of experience. And when I talk to people about my experience and my age, I say, I got lucky. But here's the deal. I've been at it 22 years. We have 10,000 people a day turning 65. There's a big need for help out there. And I'll tell you, it's not going to get any easier for people, because I think they're in an economy, they're in a market, and they're in a situation where you're much more on your own than you used to be.
It never has been a time quite like this. It's interesting. We're going to talk a little more about Social Security later, but we were talking before the show, Social Security is 80 years old, even though our country is 239 years old. So it's not been around through the entire time. But David, when we talk about baby boomers, that title used to be on every newspaper, magazine, everywhere you'd look, you'd see this term or this title, baby boomer. Now, you don't even see that title anywhere anymore. What is a baby boomer? When were they born, and what are we talking about? Yeah, Let's go back to the square one.
And they've influenced everything from the hula hoop to the Ford Mustang, and retirement's not going to be any different. But a baby boomer are those that were born sometime between 1945 and 1964, and that would make that generation huge, about 71 million in size. There's 319 million people in the U.S. overall, according to the U.S. Census, so that's a big part of our population. And again, according to the HSDN organization, who I've followed for years on their demographic trends, they say peak birth rates happened between 1960 and 1962. So that means those folks, that's the biggest group of the baby boomers, they're all about 53 to 55 right now. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? Are they going to spend a lot of money? Are they going to borrow a lot of money? Are they going to be expansive? No, they're not. They're going to start paying down debts and saving for retirement. That's what a typical mid-50s person does when their kids start to leave, because they, on average, had their kids between the ages of 26 and 29, just over two kids apiece on average. And folks, you guys know this if you've had children. You're never more broke than the day after you have your first kid. And then if you have a second one, you're just more broke. But peak spending in a household occurs when you as an adult are between 46 and 54. That's when your kids are the oldest. You know, we talk about them eating everything inside, leaving all the lights on. I mean, that's when you're spending a lot of money. And then as they migrate, hopefully, out of the house, then your spending goes down. Everything goes down. It's not just the discretionary spending. It's the necessity spending, like tennis shoes and blue jeans and back to school supplies. It's all that stuff. You know, I was giving a talk recently at the Bloomington Northside Exchange Club, and if anyone would like for me to do that, we came and talked about the book and talked about some of the challenges that we're facing in America when it comes to retirement. But Doug, I asked the group, do you know what the peak age of purchasing potato chips is? And I'm saying not consuming potato chips, but buying potato chips. Well, the age is 42. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean that a 42-year-old is sitting around eating potato chips now occasionally when there's Monday Night Football on? Yes. Yeah. But generally, no, it's their kids. Their kids are about 14 years old. And again, they're eating everything in sight. And so are all their friends. If the friends come over, it even gets worse. So you can see how the spending happens. Electricity use in your home peaks out around 46 to 56, too. It's your kids. That's what it is. Fast food. 47 is the age where you peak you're buying a fast food. Now, again, does that mean that I'm eating double cheeseburgers? No. It means my kids are. Now, at 48, 49, 50, we're not going there anymore. Our kids are. They don't want us with them, so they're going on their own. They're
But you're probably still friend. Buying
We're
it.
Still buying it. That's right. But we're buying the peak purchaser of fast food. Your age is about 47. Mm-hmm. Always like this one, you know, hair care products for women. It steadily begins to increase when women are in their mid- to upper 30s. And you know what happens when you start getting your mid to upper 30s. I'm married to a beautiful 45-year-old woman. Her birthday was just this past week, so happy birthday to you, Misty. And guess what happens? They start getting gray, and they don't like it, so they want to cover that up. And they go to the stylist a lot, and they spend a lot of money. And, Doug, they continue to do that, and it becomes more and more frequent. Mm-hmm. It goes from every 6 weeks to every four to almost every 2 weeks in some people's cases. So guess what? They spend a lot. Now, that kind of levels out into their 70s until they finally just say, ah, heck with it, I'm going to let it go gray. So we've all seen that happen before. But you can predict this stuff. You can see it coming. And I just want to back up and say that means the massive amount of people, again, that are born between 1960 and 1962, they have kids that were born around 88 to 90. That means their ages are on average 26, 27. And now they're just now thinking about marriage. They're just now thinking about having kids. So when you look at it from an economic standpoint, if 70% of our GDP is based on consumer spending, and we have this big group of people that are in their mid-50s and beyond, 10,000 a day turning 65, they are not spending a lot of money. They're saving. Mm-hmm. They're paying down debts. Their kids, they would love to spend money, but they don't have any, just like they didn't when they were that age. So it's going to take a while before we start to see the spending wave pick up again. I think it'll start to pick up in the next 5 to 6 to 7 years. That's why I think you're going to continue to see in the news consumer spending's low, you're going to see inflation low, you're going to see just slow growth, because if in a consumer-based economy, same in Japan, same in Europe, same in the U.S., what China's been trying to get to and has miserably failed, you're not going to see it. So we're just facing a tsunami, a silver tsunami, some people say, and Doug, it's going to cause some changes.
It's going to cause some real big changes, Dave. It's going to cause changes in the way that people view their current portfolios, the decisions they make about income, guaranteed income versus variable income. It's, you know, I was reading an article last night about one of the big things that people are making a mistake about now in retirement planning is life insurance. Yeah. People have a different view. They'll say to themselves, well, I've got this. I don't need life insurance anymore. And you know, these are pretty big decisions that you make to let a life insurance policy lapse or to go or to take the money. And there's just a lot of guessing going on out there. Never a better time to sit down with a financial advisor and to have a written plan put together that kind of gives you some, obviously most things, all things are assumptions, but at least gives you some understanding of where you are, what you're doing. One of the things that Brian Bell, who's been on the program here before, talked to us about one time was just deductible reviews. When was the last time you just wrote down all the deductibles? A lot of people should do things like that.
I tell this story in the classes that we teach to retirements, whether it's Rejuvenate Your Retirement through Ivy Tech or the new class that we'll be doing very soon on today's Guide to Retirement Planning. We talk about deductibles. I think insurance is for the things you can't otherwise cover yourself. Everyone nods. That makes kind of sense. Now, also deductibles. You'd be surprised how many of you probably still have a $100 deductible on your auto or $500 on your home, but could you afford $1,000 or $5,000? Go and talk to your agent and find out what the savings is. You'd be astounded, I think, at times, because most of the claims, according to what I've read, are the smaller claims that people make, and that's why people have these crazy small deductibles. You know, the view of retirement traditionally was same company, pension, Social Security was fine, really relied very little on your personal savings. That has changed, that's going to change, is going to continue to change. So when we come back, we're going to tee up some of the changes that are likely coming and going to stay around. We're going to talk about this new view of retirement, not the old view. And then we're going to take a step back and look at then and now. Look back at Social Security, which is now, what, 80 years old, we said?
80 years old on August
14th.
And
I think Medicare turned 50. So we're going to have Dougie Hughes take us back to then and now. We've got a lot to talk about in a very short amount of time. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. You know, we're focusing on the baby boomer today, which are many of you listening. And, you know, when you talk about the baby boomer, you're talking about this new view of retirement, because the traditional view of retirement was, again, you worked for the same company, you earned a pension, you had Social Security you could count on, and you really relied very little on your personal savings. Doug Hughes is with me live in the studio. And, Doug, the new view of retirement is much different than that.
It is dramatically different. David, there are a lot of factors that are out there today. It seems like there's no common denominator other than we just every day continue to get older. Think about the average job change that people go through today in this country. The typical person now starts a job. Now, I'm not saying these are all their high-end jobs, but they have seven different jobs during their adult working career, meaning that where they used to go and work at one place for 30 years and kind of have a defined outcome, now changing jobs seven times. Some may offer 401k, some may not. So really you're on your own when it comes to retirement planning and retirement savings, because the pensions are drying up, and that many changes really means there's a lot of opportunity for good plans, not so good plans, no plans, very, very strong variation.
There's a lot of ways for you to make mistakes. You know, one of the biggest mistakes people make when they move from job to job is they don't properly handle their existing retirement account. I was reading a statistic recently that many, many people, a large percentage of people, when they have balances under $5,000, just cash it out and move on. Well, folks, if you're 25 years old and you've had a job for 2 or 3 years and you have a, you know, $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 in your retirement account, you leave, you're like, you know, I could kind of use that. So you spend it. Well, all of a sudden you get a new job, you're 30, you've got now 10 or 15 in there, you leave, I could kind of use that, so I spend it. And then trust me, all of a sudden you're 40, then you're 50, then it's like, uh-oh, I've made some big mistakes. And the opportunity cost, you just cannot get that back, because your most valuable asset is your time. And sure. Doug, as we take a look at some of the things that are in question, we mentioned the pension. No one has a pension anymore. I mean, certainly if you work for the federal government, if you work for the state government, there's a pension. A few of the industries out there still have pensions. And a pension mm-hmm. is that monthly check that you can rely on for the rest of your life and maybe your spouse's wife. Most of us do not have that. That's one of the things I've been focusing on with retirees and inheritance ideas is, hey, have you ever considered leaving behind not just cash when it comes to inheritance? Because one of the things that I've noticed with the baby boom generation is they're not as concerned about leaving behind big amounts of money. Where the Bob Hope generation, the children mm-hmm. of the Depression, they were focused more on money. But they want to leave behind memories and values and legacies. But one thing they're all worried about is their kids and what kind of retirement that they'll have. So I've said, hey, what about considering an income inheritance for part of the money? Mm-hmm. That is getting so much traction with people. It resonates with people. 50% in cash, 50% in an income inheritance. Because, Doug, not just pensions are under attack, but Social Security, it's in question, too.
It's in question. So we don't have any music from 80 years ago I don't think we can play in, but this sounds like a little bit of a story. So President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act into law 80 years ago on August 14, 1935. Over the past 8 decades, the Social Security program has expanded from a retirement program for workers to a broader safety net that includes dependent benefits for spouses and minor children, also their survivor benefits and disability benefits. During those 80 years, no beneficiary, David, has ever missed a check. Even when the Social Security system was threatened with insolvency, and people forget about this, in 1983, Congress intervened in the nick of time to approve a reform package that kept benefits flowing for the past 32 years. So Social Security in the hands of Congress, this isn't the first time. It happened back in 1983.
Well, and just to point out one quick thing, 2016, the Disability Trust Fund is scheduled to go defunct. Mm-hmm. That would lower benefits by 20%. Social Security is going to be dried up by 2033-ish. That would reduce benefits by nearly 30% mm-hmm. to beneficiaries. But what Congress did in this new Congress is they said, listen, in 2016, we will not put a Band-Aid on this Disability Trust Fund. We're going to force the overall system to be reviewed and evaluated and fixed. Mm-hmm. We're not going to allow that to happen, which they did in 1984. So with that being a presidential election year coming up, I can guarantee one thing, that's going to be a big discussion.
Absolutely. You know, Social Security remains a crucial part of retirement security. More than half of married couples, David, between the age of 65 and older, nearly 75% of unmarried elderly individuals, they really depend on Social Security for about 50% of their retirement income. And we know, we talk about it with people all the time, but in the 80 years, it's never stopped being a major cornerstone of the way people plan for retirement. It's never shifted away from that. Unless you're very wealthy and you just, you know, a check for $1,000 or $2,000 doesn't mean anything to you, it really maintains that big cornerstone in your portfolio for income.
It really, really does. And the fact that most average Americans, if it's taken correctly, can be a really large part of their of their retirement income plan. And that's why we do these programs like the Social Security Claiming Strategy programs. One will be at Owen County State Bank on Saturday, Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on the 22nd. So you can just show up, contact us, whatever, and go to that.
Absolutely. Be great. Here's a nice little tidbit, little factoid, David. On January 31st, 1940, Social Security issued the first monthly retirement check in the amount of $22.54 to Ida Mae Fuller of Ludlow, Vermont, who retired the year before her job as a legal secretary. She paid a total of $24.75 in Social Security
taxes.
You
timed this one right.
Yes, on her salary during the 3 years she worked under the program. It turned out to be a very good deal for her. Ms. Fuller lived to 100 and collected more than $22,000 in Social Security benefits over her lifetime.
When you talk about that's a good deal. That's good timing.
That's a good
for
deal. $24.75 in, and she got $22,000 out of that.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the changes that we expect to happen in Social Security, some of the fixes that are being floated out there, just to get everyone sort of keyed up and teed up and get the knowledge that they're going to need as they prepare. We're going to also talk about inherited IRAs. They're under attack as well. And it makes sense because we're broke as a country. We need the revenue. So how do we tap into these trillions of dollars of tax-deferred accounts? We're also going to talk about estate taxes, Indiana inheritance tax, which it doesn't even exist anymore for the most part. And then what all of us need to worry about are income taxes. So we're going to talk about some of these changes that are coming up. Doug's going to talk to us about a couple that he met on a cruise ship. I believe it was on a cruise ship from a different country who have been dealing with some of these changes in their Social Security environment, their method of taking it a lot. It's coming our way. So we're going to talk about that story when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Oh, I like that, Jim. Great music. The second song that we came back to, we can get rid of that one. That one, I like it a lot. Jim Ritter, everybody. He's performing at the desk here as the producer. The old producer, no, not the old producer, but our other good friend Jim Emmons called in during the break, and he heard the story about Ida May, who paid in like $20 and then got $20 or received $20 a month for her entire life. She was $100. He said, where'd the funding come from? Well, Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. Now, back when it first started, you had lots of people paying in, only few people paying out. Now it's kind of flipping over. There were, according to by the numbers, in 2015, there were 36 Social Security beneficiaries for every 100 covered workers. And they're reporting that at some point we're going to have like, you know, two people paying in for every one person taking out. And I think when they first started, it was like 30-some people paying in to one person paying out. So that's your answer, Mr. Inman. Thanks for calling in. Hey, let's talk about some of these changes, Doug. I know that they're coming. And like I said, Congress said they're not going to put a Band-Aid on this thing. They're going to be, we're going to face in the music sometime in 2016. The presidential candidates on both sides of the aisle are talking about this. One person came out, Christie came out and said, hey, we're going to look at not giving it to people at all who have incomes in retirement over $200,000. He also gradually talked about raising the full retirement age from 67 to 69. One of the other presidential candidates, I think it was, Rand Paul said, let's start increasing the low band from 62 to 64 by 2028. And then you have Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side. He's sponsoring bills that say let's double the current taxable wage base all the way up to $250,000. Right now, you pay Social Security taxes on the first $118,000 of payroll, and then your employer also pays that too. So that's what he's talking about. You increase that, you increase ages, you got it fixed. And Doug, we've been talking about these things to people for quite some time, but right. Means testing is going to happen. We just know that. It's already happening on the Medicare side. And when I talk about means testing, it's real simple. If you have the means, you're probably not going to get it all. And Doug, this is happening around the world.
Sure. Well, just to tickle everyone's entertainment factor, Donald Trump said last night he was just going to bring all the money back from around the world, and then we'd have no Social Security problems at all. No, David, I was on my trip this summer, and on the cruise ship, I met several people from the country of Australia, and I sit down at these tables, and I'm talking with them, and they ask what I do, and I tell them, and they're most of them are retired, and Australia made a change about 20 years ago, but a strong change about 10 years ago, where they changed their Social Security program to a means testing Social Security program. Not like Governor Christie is talking about people are making $200,000 a year in retirement income. There's not many people doing that. What they did in Australia was they turned the means testing to if you had $800,000, $800,000 US of net worth aside from your home, then they began to gradually lower your Social Security payment that you got out of the government pension. So $800,000 kind of became the number where if you had more than $800,000, the higher you went, the lower your Social Security payment. Does not include your house, but just cash, investment, and assets.
And who will it affect? I think everybody is saying it will not affect current retirees and beneficiaries.
Right.
I will tell you that I think someone that's 5 years away, maybe even 10 years away, probably are pretty safe. The last time they made major changes and increased in the retirement age, for the people that it affected weren't even born yet. So I don't think they're going to come in and land blast 55-year-old people. Now, if you're under 50, For sure, if you're in between 50 and 55, I'd be concerned. What I have been saying to people, if you're 52 or 53 and we're trying to plan a retirement income strategy, let's go ahead and plan on about 80% of your Social Security just to be safe rather than sorry. So there are a lot of changes coming on Social Security. One of the things I think is for sure coming are changes in some of these claiming strategies. You know, just today I was talking with someone who is married. His wife has been on Social Security for a few years. He'll turn 66 in about a year. That's his full retirement age. He's going to file, but not take his own benefit. He's going to claim on his spouse's benefit. It doesn't affect her, but he receives 50% of what her full benefit would have been had she waited to 66. In this case, he's going to get about $900 a month. Why would he do that? Well, now he can delay his own. His will increase every single year by 8% plus any inflation jumps. So when he turns to 70, which is the time that it stops growing, he can switch to his own. At that point, he'll have around a $3,000 a month benefit that not only is his benefit, but if he passes away, his wife steps up to that benefit as well as the family benefit. And remember, as of right now, up to 85% of Social Security is taxable, not 100%. And when you compare that to other income sources, pensions, 100% taxable. IRA distributions, 100% taxable. So it's a very tax-efficient income strategy. I think some of those will probably go away. I don't know when or which ones will be under attack first. I think the one will be under attack first will be the serial marrier person. You know, they've been married like 3 times, 10 years each, and each one of those ex-spouses are claiming on the same record, that one might go away. There's some other crazy ones out there, too. If you want to hear all the crazy ones, go over to Owen County State Bank on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on the 22nd of August, and Wayne Thacker will be there presenting some of these strategies, and some of them you look at and you hear and you think, what? Are you kidding me? That's why they're going broke. And that has been proposed in several of the previous budgets that have been presented to Congress, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of those things change. A couple other things that you need to keep your eyes out for is in the IRA world. You know, for a long, long time, we have talked about this concept of a stretch IRA, Doug. And a stretch IRA is not a product, but it's a process. Yeah. And it works pretty simple. As long as you have properly titled beneficiaries on your beneficiary form, and we're talking about IRAs and retirement accounts, and you pass away, and we're going to talk about non-spouse beneficiaries, so kids or grandkids. Because if you're a spouse, you just make it your own and everything's fine. Non-spouse beneficiaries, they could divide that into a properly titled inherited IRA. They would maintain the tax treatment, tax deferral. They would only be required to take a minimum distribution, but it's based on their life expectancy. So if you're 50 years old, you can stretch it out over 36, 37 years. It turns a pretty modest retirement account into hundreds of thousands of dollars of distributions, and you stretch the tax out over a long period of time. That is under attack. We write about it in the book as well, our retirement planning book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, and we say that there's been a lot of push and a lot of momentum and there's a lot of traction to eliminate the inherited IRA for non-spouse beneficiaries and put those on a 5-year rule, which means you have to get it all out within 5 years. But here's the thing. Most people don't stretch it anyway because these retirement plan balances, by and large, aren't that large, and when you have 3 or 4 kids that you divide it amongst, and it's 30 grand, 40, 50,000 bucks, guess what? They need it, they cash it out anyway. It'll affect the bigger plans. So I think they're looking at this, Congress is looking at this, the Ways and Means Committee is looking at this saying, that's a great idea. I don't know that it is. Personally, I think the best idea if they want to get money out of retirement accounts is to change the required minimum distribution tables for current retirees. And Doug, I've been saying that for quite some time. I didn't want to be responsible for this, but when you sit down with someone and they're 70 and a half and they have to start taking required distributions, do they know how much they're supposed to take?
No idea.
Exactly. That's my point. Right now, we use a unified table that assumes you have a spouse 10 years younger. You only have to take out 3.65% of the account balance the first year. It doesn't even get to 5% until you're near 80. Mm-hmm. But if they change that to a single life table and you're looking at your own life expectancy, it increases the required distribution by 30 or 40%. And guess what? That's a lot more money that comes out and a lot more taxes that are paid. Mm-hmm. Well, I just got an email from the Ed Slott Organization. Of course, Ed is the founder of IRAhelp.com, gave us a killer book, a killer quote for the back of our book. And it talked about RMD rules changing, and they're doing a webinar next week, which I'm going to, of course, watch.
Absolutely.
And I think some of this stuff might be getting some traction. Wow. So we're just kind of keeping you up to speed, folks, on things you need to watch out for.
At the end of the day, David, what we always say to people is this is so simple, but your 401k or IRAs, they're designed to do two things, really. The traditional ones are designed to grow as big as you can grow them and then begin to just kind of evaporate after that. And these processes like the stretch, I mean, these have been tremendous planning tools.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, amazing things have happened. But we see that every time we have something that turns out to be amazing, that's also something that gets some opportunity from the tax people to say, let's take a different approach.
And you know, I love change. I love chaos because it creates opportunities. But here's the thing. Federal estate tax, not a problem for most people, because if you don't have an estate over $5.2 million and some change, and if you're married over $10 million, no federal estate tax. If you have, there is no Indiana state inheritance tax any longer, but income taxes on money that you've never paid income taxes on, IRAs, annuities, all that stuff, someone's going to have to pay it at some point, and that's what they're after. A couple of the things I think are going to stick around. The rule of 55, that just means if you terminate employment the year you turn 55 or after, you can access your 401ks, 403bs, 457s without a penalty. You still have to pay the taxes. I think the qualified charitable distributions, I think that's going to stick around. So that means if you're over 70 and a half and you want to give money to a charity directly from your IRA, you can do that. It's not included in your taxable income. It satisfies your minimum distributions. I think that's going to stick. But like I mentioned, I think RMDs might change, and that's gaining some real momentum. So, hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Questions of the Week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Another solid bump music bring back to Your Money with David Hayes. Jim is the man. Hey, folks, if you'd like to ask a question, we're open to that all week long at cfci.us. You go to contact us and ask us a question. We'll be happy to answer it. We'll do phone calls, too. A lot of times, folks, just sometimes it's easier to talk to someone on the phone and give them the correct answer than it is to type a bunch of stuff. So we take those questions and our emails, our phone calls, our one-on-one meetings, and we put together 3, 4, or 5 of those each and every week, and hopefully you enjoy it, and hopefully you get something out of it. So we're going to kick it off first, Doug. I'm going to have you ask the question, and I'll give the answer.
Absolutely. David, last week you talked about being able to take money out of someone's 401k while they're still working and possibly rolling it into an IRA. This person, they said they can't remember what it was and what you called it, so they want to know what it was, so maybe they could figure out if that's something that they have available to them in their plan.
Yeah, so that's called an in-service transfer, and that basically means you're still working and you can roll it over into an IRA and then open yourself up to the world of investments. Not everyone's eligible to do it because the plans may not allow it, and if that's what you're being told, then they probably don't allow it. You know, every plan's different. Like the Cook plan, you have to be 65 before you can do an in-service rollover. TSP, that's the Thrift Savings Plan through the U.S. government, you can do one of those, and you have to be after age, 59 and a half. GE, I don't think you can do any. United Technology, you can do it, but you have to sit out 6 months from the plan. You know, IU is pretty hard to do it there, not allowed. The hospital, really not so much. General Motors, some money you can, some you can't. Veteran, you can after 59 and a half. AT&T, after 59 and a half. So every plan is different. That's my point. So if they're telling you that you can't do it, Doug, they're probably telling you the truth.
And, you know, again, I would go back to this fact. We really... You can never underestimate the value of having a financial advisor to help you just learn about your plan, not just a 1-800 number to call, but to really know the ins and outs of your plan. We always recommend people take a review of the details of their plan, not just the investments, but the details.
And if I was hearing this, I would say, well, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to? Well, if you're 5 years from retirement and you're in the limited funds that are available within your 401k plan, maybe you want to have more purpose behind the investments. Maybe you want to bucket it out, created a reliable income plan. That's why you do it. And that's why the IRS and the government allows it after 59 and a half, because they want you to have those choices as you get into the final stretch of retirement.
Absolutely. Next question. I need to get our will and stuff done. I have 4 kids. They're all young. What are things I need to think about and decide before going to see an attorney? And how much does it cost to have things like this prepared?
Well, let's do the cost thing first. It's all of the board. You know, I've seen folks get charged as little as $500 or $600. I've seen them get charged as much as $2,000 or $3,000. So attorneys will tell you that. You know, what I would say is go sit down, talk with them, and ask them for an estimate of their costs, and they'll provide that to you. But some of the things you need to get ready. You need to have an executor. You need to have a power of attorney, a healthcare representative, a guardian, and a trustee. Now, an executor is someone that handles the will. So you're dead when this is happening, and they kind of go through and make sure all your wishes are granted. The power of attorney, typically a financial document that's used while you're still alive, so they can do things for you when you either can't or choose not to. A healthcare representative allows someone to make healthcare choices for you. Now, if you're married, usually you're each other's on all of this, and then you'll have a backup, like maybe one of your kids or grandkids or a friend. In this case, they have young kids, so they would need a guardian, someone to take care of the kids, a trustee, someone to take care of the money. Those are the main things you need to identify. Now, I think it's a good idea to have the guardian of your kids and the person handling the money separate. One takes care of the kids, one takes care of the money. Also, look at your assets. What things are direct transfer and what things go through your estate that would be directed by your will? What I mean by that is you may have all of these grandiose ideas, but if your IRA, your life insurance, your beneficiary forms don't say, put them into this trust when I die, then they may end up going somewhere else and voiding the will altogether. So here's the thing. I mean, most of the money you have is probably in retirement accounts, IRAs, life insurance, things like that. You just want it to land in the right place. So talk to your attorney about this. They'll help you out and make sure that you get it right. But those are the things you need to think about. Hopefully that didn't discourage you, but encouraged you.
Absolutely.
All right, Doug, let's give you one over here. A question came in. I noticed state income taxes are still being taken out of my pension check that comes from the state, PERF. But we've lived in Florida for 2 years, and we do not have a state income tax. What do I need to do to stop this, and is there any way to get my money back?
Well, David, yes, you can stop it and likely get it back. Just go online and get the tax withholding form from the NPERS website. Fill it in saying you want no taxes withheld and it will stop. Then you can file an Indiana tax return for the past 2 years. We think that's about as far as you can go back and get that money refunded to you.
I actually helped someone do that a few years ago, and you just do it exactly like you said.
Absolutely.
All right, Doug, we have another one here.
One other question, David. Do you know that this was the third day in a row that China devalued their currency? The question is, I don't get why we are worried about the dollar getting stronger. Isn't that a good thing? I know this week China devalued their currency. I know that this is probably more complicated than I think, but just a general overview, what does all this mean?
Yeah, you know, sure. So when the dollar goes up, our dollar goes up in value, it buys more things overseas, it buys less at home. If you're selling things overseas, it makes our stuff more expensive if the dollar's stronger, which could hurt profits of like multinational companies like Apple, let's say. I mean, they sell a lot of phones over in China. If the dollar's strong, then it makes it more expensive. So when China devalued its currency to make its stuff cheaper, it's trying to stimulate their economy. It's trying to make things cheaper so they can sell more. And that's what we did in the U.S. over the past 7 years until the EU started. Japan's been doing it for like 20 years, a race to the bottom. It's really to fight off deflation more than anything else. So when folks were looking at the U.S. over the last several years and saying, oh, we're going to have massive inflation, we're going to have, you know, runaway this, runaway that, I've been saying for this for a long time, and so have a lot of other people, that no. The dollar is likely to get stronger, not weaker, because everyone else is in more shape than we are. And as they start to devalue their currencies, our dollar gets stronger. That's why one of the reasons oil is getting cheaper. I mean, it's just the way it goes. Dollar goes up, they're priced in commodity. The commodities are priced in dollars, it goes down. So you're right. It is more complicated than that, but hopefully that was a good general overview and helped you out. All right, Doug, here's one for you. Last
Alrighty.
One. I am 70, not me, but the person asking the question. This year, I guess, oh yeah, here we go. I took this question. So I'm 70 this year. I guess I need to take out all of my money from my IRA this year?
Well, David, the answer is this. No, you only need to take out the minimum distribution. It's about 3.65 of your balance this year, increasing slightly each year. You don't have to take it at all. You won't believe how many times over my 20 years, mine are 16, 20 years, we've heard something like that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot. And Doug, you've always said to people that it's interesting as you get older how you tend to become more conservative with your investments. But in the IRA world, the IRS becomes more aggressive with
the
withdrawals.
That's right. As we get more conservative, they get more aggressive.
We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to wrap up the show, preview what's coming up next week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes, our very last segment. Just a couple minutes left. Doug Hughes is wore out. He's sitting down.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I could say it's been a long day.
It's been a long day.
You know, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, Saturday mornings at 9. We do the radio show. Hopefully you enjoy it. But after a long day, and we both had a very long day today, sometimes it wears you out. But,
wears you down,
but,
yeah.
But I'll tell you, I enjoy having my Saturday mornings free. Mm-hmm. It's much more conducive to good family relationships. So,
there you go.
But I will say, even back then, my family slept in late, so I would do the show early. I'd be back practically before they'd even be up and at them. So, hey, next week, so Mary Beth Franklin, she is the contributing editor of Investment News. You've heard her on the show, I'm sure, many times before. She gave us, again, a killer quote for the back of our book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning. She is scheduled to be on next week. Now, there may be something come up that we have to bump her. Not me bump her, but she has to bump due to a very hectic schedule. So if she is not going to be with us next week, we will still bring a terrific show. And again, there's all kinds of little things we'd like to talk about that aren't really so thematic where we can take up 2 and 3 segments to do. So I promise that next week will be a great show, regardless of whether Mary Beth is able to be with us or not. I sure hope she is, because she's been writing some great pieces on Medicare. And a lot of folks, you know, we've been focused on Social Security so much, they think about Medicare. Well, there's a lot to think about, Doug, when it comes mm-hmm. to Medicare, too. Part A, Part B, Part C, D, and E, and F. I mean, there's
Absolutely.
A lot of supplement plans, and how do I pay for them? What's the right thing? She's really, really good. So hopefully Mary Beth can be on, but if not, Doug, maybe you'll be back with me next week.
Hey, I may be here next week, and we'll go through another good topic.
Yeah, hopefully everyone enjoyed it. You can always listen to the entire show on WGCLRadio.com. And again, if you'd like to come to the workshop that we're having at Owen County State Bank, they're putting it on. We're going to be delivering the information. That's on Saturday at 10 a.m. on the 22nd of August, and that's over in Spencer at their big, beautiful, they have a beautiful facility there, so you might check it out. So again, if you're in the area of Spencer and maybe Ellettsville, you might want to go over there and check it out. We've always done the Social Security workshops at the Monroe County Library, and we'll do them in the middle of the day or towards the end of the day. We've never done a Saturday morning. So I know working people, Saturday morning, hopefully that's going to be a much better time for you to show up. So you don't have to RSVP. We'd appreciate if you did, but you don't have to. CFCI.us, and we'll get you a seat there and make sure that we have plenty of materials. So, Doug, you've got a busy weekend ahead of you?
You know, I do. I've got, we have the Northside Exchange Club Fish Fry out
yeah.
at the Memorial Stadium tomorrow, 4:30 to 7:00
or something like that. That's a tradition.
Well, I've been to that, and I have to tell you, if you're a fish eater, you don't want to miss it. It's a good
great.
Old fish and coleslaw, the whole deal.
It's the good old traditional stuff. Doug, thank you so much. Everyone, have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next Thursday night at 6 here on GCL. Goodbye. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Guest opinions on this show do not necessarily represent those of the radio station, David Hayes, or CFCI. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor, 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana.